You're having a great holiday season, and if you're joining us today live on Sunday, you're an overachiever, and you're going to finish 2024 in a really amazing way, and I want to help you finish it even better. I was thinking about the value of a mirror, and it's interesting. The value of a mirror is not the glass. It's not the frame. It's not the shape of the mirror. No one stares in a mirror and thinks, wow, that's an amazing looking mirror. As a matter of fact, when a mirror is being utilized as it was intended to be utilized, the actual mirror is not only not the focus of your attention, it's practically invisible. The value of a mirror lies in the quality of the capacity for its reflection. Think about that. The value of a mirror is not in what it looks like, even though they come in all different shapes and sizes. It's in the quality of the capacity for its reflection, which reminds me of an ancient Hebrew spiritual practice that the rabbis would lead people in. If you've ever read a portion of the Psalms, you've likely seen this word Selah. It's sitting off by itself, and it appears only in the poetic language in the Old Testament. And it's actually a Hebrew word spelled with English letters that its meaning is somewhat uncertain, but most scholars believe that the meaning of this word Selah was to pause or to reflect, which makes a ton of sense because usually it's found at the end of a series of verses or at the end of a stanza. And you see this word Selah, and the idea was for the reader or the singer or the listener to pause and reflect. To pause and reflect on what they had just read or what they had sung or what they had heard or what they had experienced. A Selah moment in the scriptures is a deliberate space intended for reflection or contemplation or consideration. This later turned into the spiritual practice of meditation. But this was commonly associated with worship, pausing to consider the nature of God, the activity of God, the need for God, our obedience or disobedience to God and his word to us from the word of God. And so reflection was believed to be necessary to pave the way to new actions and new behaviors. This is sort of akin to the idea of repentance. It's reflecting to understand the direction you need to go in. And repentance just means a turning or a new direction, to turn and go in a new direction. And this reflection was seen as necessary for it. It's reinforced by something James, the brother of Jesus, said in the New Testament to New Testament Christians about mirrors and reflections. Maybe you've heard this before. This is what he said. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and then after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Now, none of us would do that. You wouldn't walk into your bathroom to get ready for your day and grab your mirror if you use a mirror like this, or look into your vanity and then see something and walk away ignoring or pretending or forgetting what you saw. I mean, that's absurd. You would look closely. Through the reflection in the mirror, you'd see what you needed to do to improve the way you look. And we do this almost every day. You do this as a regular practice every day. And that's the value of healthy rhythms of reflection. Don't miss this. Intentional reflection leads to purposeful action. Intentional reflection leads to purposeful action. And this is crucial when it comes to growth and health, spiritually, relationally, professionally. Years ago, I was in an intense season. I went through this difficult season. I've shared some of it with some of you. And I felt like I had been through a serious battle. It had been a war, like in my career, my family, we had moved to a new place. And it just felt like everything was hard. I think Braveheart or Gladiator, something like that. The scene where the war or the battle is over, everybody's sitting around and they're like wounded. And the truth was, is I was cut. I was still bleeding. And as I began to reflect, I thought, I need some help with this. And so I actually went away for 4 days and I had somebody help me intentionally process that season. And it was primarily reflecting on that season that was a catalyst, identifying what I needed to take away from that season and what I needed to leave behind from that season. It was a massive catalyst to my personal growth and my mental and emotional health. I became a better leader. I became a better husband. I became a better follower of Christ. Now, the truth is this isn't just following a season of crisis. You could be coming out of an amazing season, and your reflection would likely lead to gratitude, opening you up to what God has for you in the next season. So grateful for what he had done in the previous season that you want to be all in on what he would lead you towards in the next season, and anywhere in between. Now, I have to say this. If you're skeptical about this, here's what you need to know. Neuroscience has actually proven why this is the case biologically for us. The act of reflecting on your experiences can literally change the structure of your brain. It enhances our ability to make more informed decisions and adapt our behaviors based on our past experiences and outcomes. Reflecting on those things actually changes the form and function of your brain. Reflection strengthens neural pathways and supports a process, big term here, called synaptic plasticity. Synaptic plasticity is just the reforming and the reshaping of your brain. Romans chapter 12 talks about this. And what happens when you reflect is you create new neural pathways in your brain. Here's why this is important. It's crucial for learning and adapting and forming new skills and forming new behaviors, which in turn leads to new reflexive behaviors, those things that you now do naturally because of the new neural pathways in your brain. Healthy rhythms of reflection lead to healthier reflexive behaviors in our lives. And this time of year is a great season. Actually, it's a very natural season in the rhythm of life to reflect. As you're coming to the end, or we're coming to the close of 1 year, before you launch into a new one, what if you were to engage in some intentional reflection? What if you were to look back on this past season before you head into a new one? Now, you may already have a system or something you've used in the past and you just need a little prompt to do this. And that's great. You should pull it out. Find some time in the next couple of days before we launch into the new year to do this. If not, we've created a tool, and it's not comprehensive, but it's one I've used multiple times, and it's a great place to start. And at the end of this message, there's actually going to be a QR code with a set of 21 questions. Now, maybe not all of them are germane to you, but there's 21 questions that will help you reflect on different areas of your life, on different experiences in your life, as you're looking back to this past season before we look forward. Remember, intentional reflection leads to purposeful action. God has something specific for you in the new year. I believe that God has something meaningful for you in the new year. And it just might be that reflecting intentionally on this past season will help you discover what God has for you in the next one. So before you launch into your new plans and your new goals for the new year, may you find some space to reflect on this past season. May you not glance in the mirror and just move on to the next season. May you look intently, reflect intentionally, and may God use it as a catalyst to new levels of growth and new levels of health in your life, spiritually, relationally, professionally, and personally. Have a safe and happy new year, and we'll see you in person on January 5th, right back here at Buckhead Church.